songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8. And today's text is 28, yes, I think. Yes, 28. Praha Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Brahmane Bhagavat Proktam Brahma Kalpa Upagate Praha Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Brahmane Bhagavat Proktam Brahma Kalpa Upagate Praha Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Brahmane Bhagavat Proktam Brahma Kalpa Upagate Praha Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Brahmane Bhagavat Proktam Brahma Kalpa Upagate. Please chant. Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Brahmane Ota Vaishnavis. Okay, synonyms. Praha. He said, Bhagavatam, the science of the personality of Godhead. Nama, of the name. Puranam, the supplement of the Vedas. Brahma Samhitam, just in pursuance of the Vedas. Brahmane, unto Lord Brahma, Bhagavat Proktam, was spoken by the personality of Godhead. Brahma Kalpe, the millennium in which Brahma was first generated. Upagate. Just in the beginning. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. He began to reply to the inquiries of Maharaj Parikshit by saying that the science of the personality of Godhead was spoken first by the Lord himself to Brahma when he was first born. Srimad Bhagavatam is a supplementary Vedic literature and it is just in pursuance of the Vedas. Please repeat. He began to reply to the inquiries of Maharaj Parikshit by saying that the science of the personality of Godhead was spoken first by the Lord himself to Brahma when he was first born. Srimad Bhagavatam is a supplementary Vedic literature and it is just in pursuance of the Vedas. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of the personality of Godhead. The impersonalist always tries to misrepresent the personal feature of the Lord, not knowing the science of this great knowledge. And Srimad Bhagavatam is in pursuance of the Vedas and scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. To learn this science, one should take shelter of the representative of Sri Shukadeva and follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit without foolishly attempting to interpret, thereby committing a great offense at the feet of the Lord. The dangerous ways of interpretations by the non-devotee class of men have played havoc in understanding the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the careful student should be always alert in this matter if he at all wants to learn the science of Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschati Deshtarine Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unvilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Shtapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishyavangstra Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangstra Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Mancha Kopaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaisavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So even the wires get old. Everything in this material world gets old, so we're not surprised. The wiring here is getting old, and that's why we're having problems. Sometimes it's on, sometimes it's not. But we're not surprised, again, because we know this material world is purpose-built to give us this experience of aging. There is no aging in the spiritual world. Everybody there is eternally youthful, just like Krishna is known as Navayovanam. Everybody there is Navayovanam, not just Krishna. It's not that, you know, the other residents of the spiritual world get old and Krishna doesn't. No, everybody is eternally fresh youth. And that's what we should be hankering for. Especially those of us who are getting on in years. I'll be 69 in October. And as I was saying on Saturday to those people who came to visit, I remember when I was 22 and able to, at my height, not so tall, dunk a basketball. I can't even think about that now. If I can get this far off the floor while dancing, I'm very happy. So the body gets old, it's a fact. And everything here gets old. The building is getting older. That building in Miami, over time, aged and unfortunately fell down. Which is really, really horrendous. This is how greed affects us negatively. Due to greed, they didn't design that building properly. I studied civil engineering, so I know. There's a fine line between over-constructing, in other words, you build something that's so strong, you spend more money than you need to, and spending so little that you don't build it strong enough so that it can withstand the forces of nature. You see? As I was saying to Brigu's friend last night, and we went on Harinam, we saw Brigu Prati's friend in Santa Monica, that You know, I've been to Sarajevo. Sarajevo in Bosnia was bombed repeatedly. Prem Sankirtan knows, he's from that part of the world. Bombed. And there are buildings there that were bombed and they're still standing. They have holes in them and some certain parts are missing, but they're still standing after being bombed. And this building in Miami, or close to Miami on the Florida seacoast, just by weathering, fell down. Too much water got into the whole thing and the rebar rusted and the whole building fell down. So, but again, we're not surprised. This whole material world is so constructed that it will all disappear at some point. It's not that, you know, your building is so strong, it lasts for centuries. And no, you know, it's not our home. We're meant to go home. So here, Shukadev Goswami has been asked by Parikshit Maharaj to systematically present the material existential situation. What is this all about? He asked so many questions. Yesterday, Arjun Gopa said there were 25 questions. But the gist of the whole thing is, tell me what's going on. I want to know what's happening on the spiritual platform, on the material platform. And we should all be similarly curious to know what's going on. Now, part of the mandate of ISKCON is to try to revive the Varnashram system. Now, which Varna and Ashram is Shukadev Goswami in? None. He received no reformatory training. None. He came out of the womb and he left home, practically. So he didn't get any reformatory training, no samskaras. But because he was beyond the material nature, it didn't matter. Didn't matter. There's this verse that I've cited many times from the first canto explaining who is this Shukadev Goswami. We hear from him. We're going to hear from him for the next 11 cantos. But do we really know who he is? Yesterday there was some story about him being a parrot. That's not in the Bhagavatam. But in the Bhagavatam we learn Tasya Putra Mahayogin Samadhan Nilbakalpaka Ekantamatri Unidro Kudo Muda Iveyate. This is the description, succinct description of who is this Shukadev Goswami. So Tasya Putra, his Vyasadeva's son, Shukadev Goswami, Mahayogi, he was a great devotee. Samadrin means equibalance. Nirvikalpaka means a monist, absolute monist. He was fixed in this monistic idea. Ekantamatir unito. Ekantamatir means his mind was always fixed in the monistic viewpoint. Unidro means transcendental to ignorance. In other words, he's on the transcendental platform. However, Guda, the word Guda means unexposed. In other words, he was not exposed to the material society in any way, shape, or form. And like I said, came out of the womb and practically left home. Guda Muda, and therefore, because he was not exposed to material society, he seemed to be a foolish person, a mudha. Iva iyate, just like. So because of that, when he left home and he was traveling on the road naked, the women and children, they were teasing him and following him and, you know, making jokes about him. And they followed him all the way up to where the Bhagavatam was spoken. And then when they saw that all these great personalities got up to greet him, they realized this is not an ordinary person and they ran away. So the point being, the pure devotees, the pure souls, the great souls, they don't always present themselves as such. You see? They don't necessarily present themselves as such. They may sometimes appear to be completely foolish. But they don't care about that. That's not their motivation. He was not motivated by mundane respect. Hey, don't you know who I am? I'm Vyasadeva's son. No, he didn't. That was not his motivation. Didn't care about anything material at all. He knew what his destination was and what his purpose was. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Does Shukadev Goswami have any brothers? Who is his father? Yeah. So, Vyasadev fathered some other children. Who knows who they are? Vidura. Dhritarashtra. Pandu. So he has brothers. They were just the opposite. He appeared to be foolish, ignorant, walking around naked. They were just the opposite. They were born into royal circumstances. They were trained from birth. Bhishma Dev. They were trained in everything. Spiritual life, how to fight, everything. They were trained like warriors, but at the same time, like rishis. Therefore, they were known as Rajarshis. Even the blind Dhritarashtra, he was a powerful person physically, and he also was received the training, spiritual training. But because he was so attached to his sons, even though he understood that Krishna is a supreme person, he couldn't surrender. Couldn't surrender because he wanted his sons to be the rulers of the world. So yes, Shukadeva Goswami had family members. Of course, his father Vyasadeva, his mother. But he also had brothers, but he didn't associate with them. And he was, again, just the opposite side of the coin. Those personalities, you saw Pandu, you realize this is a Rajarshi, powerful person and very well spoken and very well learned. Same thing with Vidura. Even though he was born of the maidservant, he was very powerful and also very, very learned. Shukadeva Goswami was not obvious. His learning, his knowledge was not obvious, walking around naked. But when it came time to speak, so therefore Prabhupada said, you can tell a person's position by allowing them to speak. Once they open their mouth, you can say, ah, now I know where this person is coming from. So here, it's mentioned about the Mayavadis, because in the beginning, it would seem that Shukadeva Goswami was also Mayavadi, monist. You know, it's all one. But Prabhupada said, no, these people, they misrepresent. He was not misrepresenting. Why? Because he heard the truth from the right source. They, even though they hear, like I've said many times, there are many Mayavadis who know Bhagavad Gita by heart. So it's not just a question of knowing Bhagavad Gita. They can recite all 700 verses. But because at heart they're Mayavadis, they're impersonalists, it's meaningless. It's actually, you shouldn't hear from them. Avaishnavam akord girnam putam harikatamritam. Shavanam naiva kartavyam sarpochista yatapaya. This is Sanatana Goswami is telling us. Don't hear from the non-devotees. Avaishnava. There's Vaishnava, and when you put a in front of it, it means not Vaishnava. Avaishnavam akord girnam putam harikatamritam. You may say, well, it's harikata. Hello, he's speaking harikata. No. Shavanam naiva kartavyam. Don't hear from them. Why? Sarpo chista yatapaya. Just like if you put a bowl of milk and a snake touches it, you don't want to drink it. Why would you take the chance? So similarly, even though this Bhagavatam is nectar, it's like the highest quality milk, still you don't hear it from the non-devotees. Because they will misrepresent, as Prabhupada says, misinterpret, put their own. And as Prabhupada said, this misinterpretation has ruined the whole thing. It's created havoc. India is supposed to have one export, transcendental knowledge, that's it. But because people have misrepresented that transcendental knowledge and they've allowed themselves to be contaminated by ideas from elsewhere, they fall in line like everybody else. They think economy, economy, economy. That's the only thing. Economy, economy, economy. So as I've stated many times, if economic development is the goal of life, then the material world, in this material world, on this earth planet, we have failed miserably. Because it's not working. For a while, it seems to work. And then the whole thing crashes because of this reason, that reason. They're constantly fighting, just like right now in South Africa. In South Africa, they're rioting, they're burning down the place. Nobody's satisfied. It's not that nobody had any money. And it's not that only the poor are dissatisfied. No, even the rich are dissatisfied. There was not so long ago, a few years ago, there was one guy who came from India, poor, went to school here in the United States, gradually became rich by playing in the stock market. Got to the point where he was a billionaire. But because the heart was not clean, he got caught in some, you know, illegal dealings, and now he's in jail. I don't think he's gotten out yet. So it's not that only poor people are dissatisfied and cause trouble and loot and riot. No, even the rich people are not satisfied because money will not satisfy us. We cannot be satisfied by all the wealth in the universe. That's what Lord Vamanadeva told Bali Maharaj. When Bali Maharaj said, why are you asking only 3 feet of land, 3 steps of land? I can give you half the universe. He said, any Brahmana who will not be satisfied with 3 steps of land will not be satisfied if you give them the entire universe. So that's the problem. People are not satisfied, yet they still chase after that material phantasmagoria. We all know it. If everything in Los Angeles belonged to you, would you be happy? You still would not be happy. You would be hankering for something else and more respect or somebody else's wife or something. There is always something that the conditioned soul is hankering after. So the modes of nature are not just external, they're internal. They're both. They're both. So I was watching a nice video on YouTube, Kadamba Khan and Maharaj was explaining this, that if you have a nice mode of goodness situation, nice parks, clean water, swans, just like we had descriptions or will have descriptions of the Rishi Kulas, how they're constituted. They're very nice. The Rishis used to live in very nice Rishi Kulas. They were in the forest, but they had nice running water and flowers and everything beautiful. Mode of goodness scene. But if you take three different people, if you take a mode of goodness person and put them in an environment of peacefulness and clean water and swans, they will take advantage, just like the Rishis do. They will study, they will discuss, you know, spiritual activities like that. Same setting, beautiful lakes, waters, swans. You put a mode of passion person in there. What are they going to do? Maharaj gave the example. He said, most likely they will pick up a stone and throw at the swan to see if they can get the swan to fly. You see? Same setting, mode of goodness, external, but because internal mode of passion, they come up with some crazy thing. And same setting, you take a mode of ignorance person, which means laziness, intoxication, sleep. And that's what they'll do. Ah, nice place to sleep. And then when they wake up, hey, I need a joint, you know, like that. So you take the same external mode of goodness setting and you put three different people in different modes in there, you get a different reaction. So it's not enough just to be in a mode of goodness externally setting. Internally, you have to be in a mode of goodness. Internally, actually, we're supposed to come back to the transcendental platform. That's actually our normal state of existence, to be on the transcendental platform. So Srila Prabhupada showed that. He came to New York City, which was in the mode of ignorance and passion, mostly ignorance. He was even living in the worst neighborhood, the Bowery. But because he's transcendental, he was not affected. He did not get affected by the Bowery, just the opposite. He had such an effect that people were coming to see him in his Bowery apartment to learn Bhagavad Gita. This is a transcendental person. So it's not enough that I want to live in a nice neighborhood. You see? In many of these nice neighborhoods, Beverly Hills, etc., you have a lot of mode of ignorance people living there. And it comes out in their activities. Quite often you see they get arrested for killing the wife or something because somebody, you know, mode of ignorance, mode of passion. So we're not striving just to live in a mode of passion, goodness situation. It's nice, of course. We want to have clean water and beautiful. When, you know, the neighbors appreciate it. We keep this block very nice, our half of the block. We keep it very nice. Naikama Prabhu puts in a lot of hard work keeping the place looking good, our property manager. And the neighbors appreciate it. Why? Because their property values go up. You see? They don't think so much nicely about us, but if you keep your property nice, then the rest of the properties, the value goes up. So they appreciate that. But we're not just about having nice external. We're about changing the internal, cleansing the heart. And this is what the Bhagavatam does. Earlier in this canto, we had a nice verse. Srimatam sharaya nitya grinitascha sochesitam. Kalena nati dirgena. Bhagavan Vishate Riddhi. Very beautiful verse. It says, anyone who regularly hears the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimatam, Shraya Nitya, with faith, Grinatascha Shratesitam, and who's taking the matter very seriously, Kalena Nati Dirgena, in a very short amount of time, Bhagavan Vishate Riddhi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will become manifest in the heart of such a person. So that's what we want. This is why we hear Bhagavatam every day. We want Krishna to become manifest in our heart. He's already there. We know as a super soul. He's in everybody's heart. But are we aware of it? Of him? Are we conscious of him? We're not. Mostly, we're not. So this is what hearing the Bhagavatam is meant for purification, purifying the heart, making the heart a proper place for the Lord to come and manifest himself. And once we are on that platform, like Shukadeva Goswami was on that platform, then we can affect everybody else positively. So he was able to affect Maharaj Parikshit and through him all of us by hearing this Bhagavatam. And if we have heard the Bhagavatam properly, the message was actually told right away in the beginning of this canto. He told him exactly what he had to do because he was asking, what am I supposed to do? I'm going to die. So he told him that he simply, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma, Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari, Shrotavya, Kirtitavyascha, Smartavya, Chetasya, Abhayam. If you want to be free of bhaya, of fear, at the time of your death, then do these things. Srimata, hear about and chant about, glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as the Super Soul and also as Hari, who takes away everything negative. So you simply concentrate on that. So you gave him the answer right away. But then over the rest of this canto and all the way up through the 12th canto, he gives him additional information, answering his questions for meditation. And we're supposed to do that. Every day when we hear the verses, we're supposed to meditate, at least for the rest of that day. Now, the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam is coming up. And there's some discussion. Jagadish was asking me how we're going to treat that, because some of those purports are long, like 12 pages, one purport. So we're going to have one speaker just continue speaking, or have the next speaker pick up on where that first speaker left off. You know, we have to discuss. I mean, traditionally, we just have the next speaker. But maybe that's not the best way to do it for promoting proper meditation. So we'll discuss that. Over the next 2 weeks, as we know, tomorrow is Nanyatra. So over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. As many of you know, I had the good fortune of being part of that marathon to produce the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'm telling each speaker that for the next 2 weeks, instead of being known as ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we're going to be known as ISCCON, International Society for Chaitanya Consciousness. Because quite often, I find in ISKCON, we're not aware of Lord Chaitanya. And you can't get to Lord Krishna, Radha Krishna Lila, without going through Lord Chaitanya. Most of the devotees, you go to their homes, they have all beautiful Radha Krishna paintings, deities, this, that. No sign of Lord Chaitanya. Not a poster, not a picture, nothing. So we have to appreciate, as Srila Prabhupada set the example, that you must know Chaitanya Lila. You must hear from Lord Chaitanya. You must get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And how do we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? We have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who represents Guru Tattva. And in order to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, what do we do? We have to get the mercy of Jagai Madai. We have to go out in the streets, like we did last night. After a long time, I was so happy we were able to go out and do Harinam. It's so important. First, we went to the promenade, and the promenade is kind of dead. And then after that, we went to the pier, which is really jumping. So I think from now on, we'll just go straight to the pier. And while we were chanting, I noticed Brigupati was engaging some guy, large body, black body guy. He was wearing a t-shirt. It was interesting. If you've been to the Bhagavad Gita Museum, have you been there yet, Umapati Prabhu? Have you been to Bhagavad Gita Museum? You should go, definitely, as soon as you can, with your good wife. Go and take the experience. So in there, you'll see the universal form presented. And, you know, there's all the heads and stuff. So he had a shirt which was just like that. All the universal form and all the heads, but it was Jimi Hendrix. And so Brigham engaged him and gave him a Bhagavad Gita. And he was pretty favorable, right? I think he took it. He took the Gita, gave you $5, I noticed. So that's why we go out, to engage the Jagai Madais. This guy didn't expect to get a Bhagavad Gita on the pier last night. Probably went there to enjoy with his friends and stuff. But he went home with Bhagavad Gita. So this is Prabhupada's mercy on the conditioned souls by producing these books and urging us to distribute them. Distribute book, distribute book, distribute book. That's the only hope. And what is the conclusion of reading Prabhupada's books? Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we can stop here if there are any questions, discussion. Yes, Bhajapati Prabhu.
Is there Harinam today?
Today?
Yeah. Only just Friday now.
Well, we're starting out to do Fridays again to get the devotees, but we can do Saturday. If there's enough interest, we can also add a Saturday party. Why not?
Okay, we can include it. If Sohas Prabhu is fine, we'll include it in our email blast so we can get
yeah,
the congregation.
Yeah, yeah. If there are enough devotees who are eager to go out on Saturday, we can do it also Saturday. And there's so many neighborhoods. I mean, it's nice. The pier is jumping. We should definitely go there. But I remember when we used to go to Westwood, that was also nice because so many students from UCLA in that area. At Hollywood, for sure, we used to go there. Practically, we should have 5 parties going out every day. And we went by train last night. And on the train, coming back, I saw you were talking to some guy. I just overheard the conversation. What did he say? Give Satchitanoidan mic, please. What did that guy say? He seems to have some connection to ISKCON. He said he had met some ISKCON guru or something, Radhanath Swami. Isn't that what he said? You were there also, Brigham. Yeah. Anyway, I overheard a conversation. Sachitana was talking to some guy on the train. And the guy was drunk or high. He was smoking pot or something. But he had some connection to ISKCON. He said he remembered meeting Radhanath Swami or something like that. So this is why we go out to the public, to make people fortunate. Give them this good fortune of Krishna consciousness, the chanting of Hare Krishna, the books, prasadam, just the whole experience. This is what's going to save the world. Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, which means first and foremost going out and chanting in the streets. Anything else? Okay, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai.
That's my sister.